Okay, this morning, I'm going to be brief because, and it's just mostly, well, it is all word, and it's all about him and let him do the service, huh? I want to talk a little bit about the kingdom of heaven and Matthew 3:2, John the Baptist. His message was, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. That's what he told everyone who are coming to get baptized. Repent of your sins and turn to God. The kingdom of heaven is near. The New Testament records 137 references to the kingdom, and over 100 of those are during Jesus' ministry. So I think that that's pretty important that 100 out of 137, Jesus was getting a message out about the kingdom of heaven. What does the kingdom specifically refer to? Well, particularly in this passage, it is the entry of God's long-anticipated anointed one, the Messiah, the Savior, the Deliverer, and the King of all mankind. So John was actually announcing that the rule of God's King was about to overflow the power and the rule of all evil. He was getting that message out to people that soon there was going to be a king that, you know what, was about ready to change it all up. Overthrow of power and rule of all evil. And he was saying that the kingdom was near because the king was already there. The king was there at that time. His presence meant a new world of potential hope to mankind. There would no longer be a need to be held hostage to the rule of death. When that king showed up, we were not going to be bound by sin, our human sin, or we're not to be bound by political or any other type of oppression that's going on in the earth. The king was bringing a new kingdom. So Jesus showed up and John baptized him. And after he was baptized, he was led into the wilderness by the Spirit. And I'm sure all you know all that. And when he came out of there, after 40 days, his message was the same. His message was in Matthew 4:17, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And in that, the tense of that verb is near is here. So he just continued on saying, repent of your sins and turn, for the kingdom of God is here. And throughout his ministry, he spoke of his kingdom growing and leavening the whole planet. Now, when we see that word leaven, we think of like the yeast and the dough and all that. It also could mean infuse, which is to cause to be permeated with something. So it's a principle or a quality that would alter something, usually for the better. So in Matthew 13:31-33, he used some illustrations. The first is, here's another illustration Jesus used. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of garden plants. It grows into a tree, and birds come and make nests in its branches. Jesus also used this illustration. The kingdom of heaven is like the yeast a woman used in making bread. Even though she put only a little yeast in 3 measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough. So these parables were actually teaching the destined greatness of the kingdom. Meanwhile, it does its work of permeating human society, penetrating evil, and transforming lives. And that's what the kingdom was all about. It was to affect society, and it was to disempower the evil and transform lives. Luke 9:1-2. One day Jesus called together his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority to cast all demons and to heal all diseases. Then he sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So right here, Luke is showing the flow of the power of Jesus. And he's giving that power and authority to his disciples. And he's sending them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God. And with that, signs and wonders are going to follow. He was extending the rule of the kingdom of God over the demon power and disease. And that order of ministry that began with Jesus was continued by his disciples. And it's the same type of ministry that you see in the Acts book of the Bible, and it's the same types of ministry that continues in each one of us right now. We can expect victory over the powers of darkness and their operations. We are assigned to do business as authorized representatives of our Lord until he returns, and we are promised the Father's pleasure to give us the kingdom. That is to supply us with his peace and power. Now, I know growing up that I was influenced by movies and books, that it was all about, like, okay, we're getting saved, and that is the major, the first thing you need to repent and get saved. But then it's like, okay, we're getting taken out of here, so it's just, let's just get saved and get our things in order and do the best we can to maintain until Jesus comes back and he just raptures his church and where it's all fine and good. Yeah, well, I don't really believe that's how it's going to happen. And since the kingdom of God is in each one of us, why in the world would he rapture the church when we're the ones that need to release the kingdom on the earth? Just like Deb said this morning, the kingdom of God is not going to come until we release it. So that is our position, that we are to release the kingdom of God. The dominion over evil has been given, but we can expect to see spiritual breakthrough to the degree that we receive and we apply that authority. Whether it's in prayer, worshiping, preaching, teaching, or personal ministry, it's all about we can expect to receive how much we apply. Just like Deb said this morning, when we were pressing in and worshiping, we were sowing into that. That's what we do. We sow into it. We sow into the Spirit. So when we sow into the Spirit, he's filling us up and he's equipping us that when we go out, we release the kingdom of God wherever we are. And it's not just about coming to church to release the kingdom of God. The kingdom, yes, needs to be here, but it needs released out into the earth. Acts 1:1-5. In my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Jesus is about to transfer that power and that responsibility to his disciples by baptizing them in the same Spirit that authorized his ministry. When he was taken into the wilderness, the Holy Spirit ministered, baptized Jesus, because he had laid down all that deity when he left heaven. So he couldn't do anything in his own power. He needed that Spirit. So now he is transferring that power and responsibility to his disciples, which also is for us. The Spirit is for us to be baptized in that same Spirit, that we do the same kingdom things that he did, that the disciples did on the earth. The message of the kingdom from John the Baptist throughout Jesus' ministry, in the disciples' ministry during Jesus' time on earth, his ministry, and throughout Acts, Jesus prophesied the same message should be taken to the ends of the world. And that is in Matthew 24:14. And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come. I personally, and this was like me growing up, I just wasn't really aware about it. I read that good news, you know, and it's the gospel, the good news of the gospel. And it was all about harvesting souls, and that was it. It was just like harvesting souls, and, you know, sort of like, I think the church just sort of like dropped the ball. You know, we didn't do the good news about the kingdom to train people up and to know, let them know who they are in Christ and teach them about their identity and teach them what the kingdom was, and that actually that is what each one of us, we're to do. We are to release the kingdom. He commissioned his disciples to do this, and he promised that the Holy Spirit's power for this task. So he has given us the Spirit man of Father God in us. I mean, that is just like, just blows my mind that we have the Spirit man, you know, we have our Spirit man, and then we have the Spirit man of Father God in us, the Holy Spirit. And how we do that is, like we said this morning too, you sow into that, you stir yourselves up, you sing, you pray, you read the word, you just let the Spirit, and you have to, the more that you apply yourself, the more that you sow into the Spirit, the more that you're going to see the kingdom of God being released from your life. The early church proclaimed the same message Jesus preached, the message of the good news concerning the kingdom of God, and experienced the same confirming signs and wonders. And that's it. We are supposed to be sharing the kingdom of God with confirming signs and wonders happening. Now, I, for one, do not see a whole lot of that in our area. Or coming for me. Yet. You're absolutely right. Yet. But it is happening. I mean, all over the place. In the United States and all over the world, there are those confirming signs and wonders. They're preaching the kingdom of God. They're confirming signs and wonders. When Jesus died on the cross, he removed the power of the devil and the sin nature. Jesus brought the kingdom, and it will increase without end. Isaiah 9:7 says, his government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of heaven's armies will make this happen. So when Jesus, the final consummation of it all, obviously, is when Jesus returns back to the earth and we rule and reign with him. I'm just so excited about that. But in the meantime, you know, we need to have, you know, we need to live our lives righteously and according to, in obedience to God, like he could come at any minute. But we need to plan that he's not coming for quite a while, because there's a message to get out. The kingdom of God needs to be shown to the world. If we don't do it, they're not going to see it from anyone. The kingdom is here. It's within us, his believers. We are responsible for releasing it into our territories and our spheres of influence. Now, there's seven spheres of influence called seven mountains that control nations. And these are in, there's no specific order. This is random order. But one is spirituality and church. One is family. One is education. One is government and law. One is media and communications. One is arts and entertainment. And one is business and finance. Now, whoever's at the top of those mountains, they're the ones that shape society and nations. So we need to be kingdom-minded people, climbing those seven mountains, finding our places by what God has, the desires and what he's called us to do in those seven places, climbing those mountains and stepping into our assigned places of authority and releasing kingdoms. This is an example. Right now, with the whole transgender bathroom thing, with the schools, you know, the government says, okay, if you're not gonna allow transgender bathrooms in the schools, then you're not getting any funding. Well, you know what? We're kingdom-minded people that shouldn't need that funding from the government. There should be kingdom-minded people in spheres of influence with wealth that will say to that school, don't worry, don't post those signs, we'll fund you, you don't need any money from the government. That's the kingdom-minded thinking, that when we get into our spheres of influence in the kingdom, that we release the kingdom of God, whether it's not just spiritually, but financial or whatever it is, with kingdom-minded thoughts and kingdom-minded purposes. So that the government or anyone else, they don't have any power over us. We don't have to rely on them. It's the kingdom. It's the kingdom of God. And so for each of us, it's like, okay, what talents or what desires or where has God placed me? And, you know, which one of those mountains am I in? And you just live your day-to-day life being kingdom-minded. And it's nothing that we do in our own power. It's the Holy Spirit that's just going to flow out of us. And he's going to give us the words that we need. He's going to give us and lead us and give us the ideas and open, and the doors will open and we'll have favor. And it's being part of the kingdom. It's not being, let's get saved and just prepare ourselves to jet out of here and let the world just go to hell. No, that's not what it's about. It's about us, the church, being filled with the Spirit, having the kingdom of God in us, releasing it on the earth. Because, you know, let's face it, the days are going to get worse. But the light needs to get brighter. And we need to just do more than just come to you know, church services and sing some songs, and we need to know what the kingdom looks like, and we need to live by the kingdom and to have the kingdom released. So that's pretty much my message, short and sweet. But we are going to get they're going to go back up there, and we're going to sing another song. If anybody has prayer, you know, we talk about the kingdom, then I want to act on it. You know, we're kingdom-minded people. We need to pray for each other. We need to encourage each other. We need to be there for each other. That's part of the kingdom, too. So, you know what? As we just continue to press in the Lord, if anyone has any prayer needs they want, if they need some joy in their life, come on up for some prayer. I tell you what, Tuesday night, I needed some joy when we was here at church. And I don't know. I just said I need some joy, and we were supposed to be, and I'm like, and it came in waves. Ask Edna, because we were like literally on the floor laughing. I mean, and could not stop. It was hilarious. Anyway, but he'll do that. He'll do that, whatever you need. If you need joy, if you want to be baptized with fire and the Holy Spirit, just like the word says, there's a difference of being filled with the Spirit and then being baptized with fire of the Holy Spirit. If you want that boldness, that and with the evidence of speaking in tongues, come up, we'll pray for that. If you, you know, whatever it is, whatever your need is, if you're just feeling blah, whatever it is, just come up, because we are a family, and families are to encourage each other, and this is a safe place for people to encourage each other and love on each other. We don't have to do this all by ourselves. We're together, and we have the help and the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's be kingdom-minded in everything and everything that we do, whether it's at the grocery store, whether in our day-to-day life, whether it's at home with our spouses, with our kids, whatever it is. And one of the things that I've been doing, and this is Holy Spirit too, because every morning when I've been waking up, as soon as I wake up, that song, Let Heaven Come, has just been singing in my spirit. And even though those lyrics say, let heaven come, we know the kingdom is already here. That song is just saying, it's just an intercession song of crying out for the manifestation to show up in the signs and the wonders. We know that heaven is already here being released, the kingdom. But we're crying out for a manifestation of that. But every morning that for this last whole week, probably 2 weeks, I wake up that song, those words just, let heaven come, let heaven come. So everything I've been doing, I'm like, let heaven come. God, let heaven come. Let this be an opportunity for your kingdom. And I've had some opportunities. But that's what, you know, I think we're here for a while on this earth. And in order for it to change, in order for it to be kingdom and for revival, we need to have a kingdom mindset. So, all right.